Robert Norse of the Bathrobes Dear Robert fame is up in the city and for his court case, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that shortly. Just be patient, please. I need a minute or so to set up, get tapes in the recorder, but I'll be with you. We'll have a little dead air time, but I am here. Hold on.
Give it to the people. Got to give it to the people.
Well, I guess we got the message there pretty clear, didn't we? That is a group, Samaya. I'm not sure of the actual name. I don't have it written in front of me. This lady with her flautist will be singing at the benefit for Mumia Abu-Jamal's legal defense this Sunday at the Betts Hall. The whole program runs from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight. I'm just going to go over to the cassette and get the name of that group so you have that. Yeah, the name of the group is Somaya Kambui. Somaya Kambui, and I'm going to play a little more of that a little bit later on. Right now, I'm going to play you a tape recording of Nutcracker Nick, one of his adventures when he was recently repeating. I'm going to play you right now a tape recording of Nutcracker Nick's recent adventure in the city, where he went to a big benefit up there on Mumia Abu-Jamal. And that includes a poetic tribute to Mumia and also to Leonard Peltier. So let's start off the program with these resistance people.
This is the Berkeley Hill Slope suburbs
It's one hell of a run from the BART station to reach my target on time, and time is running out for Abu Jamal. That's what I'm running for, to gather with fellow believers at Martin Luther Jr. High Auditorium, gather in defense of innocence, gather to accuse the guilty. Abu Jamal has been accused of killing a cop. It was a total frame-up, one of the sordid dozens that occur every week across the USA, United Status of Apartheid. Abu Jamal is scheduled for execution in the second month ahead. He's incommunicado in a redneck jail, not in the deep south, just the northern south, the state of Pennsylvania. The hall is packed, packed full of whites, a sprinkling only of Jamal's blood brothers. The heat inside soars high, the heat within intensifies. Jamal's sad son appears behind the display of his father's photograph surrounded by flowers, and Jamal's sad son reads slowly from his father's book. He keeps his sunshades on. Is he hiding sorrow? Hiding emptiness? Dad not known for 14 years. And others read. Bernstein from Progressive Radio, a woman from American Red People, reminding us of Leonard Peltier. Judy Barry, Earth First Battle Maiden, blown apart by sabotage, the FBI, and reconstructed by the surgeon's mercy. The war is on. The people versus tyranny. Tyranny of paper pulp for profit. Profligates who pulverize the forests, rip apart riparian undergrowth, smother salmon in their water nests. The bulldozer, the battering ram, hooves and horns of the beast. Live from death row. The haunting voice of Mumia resonates within our minds. His picture, dreadlock, simple hero, framed upon the stage by the brilliant flowers. The eyes of Martin Luther King leap forward from their mural on the school wall. Mumia was not one of his. Mumia was a panther. At 13, he was hissing with the blackness of his beauty. At 15, he became a minister of revolution, getting out the word to media, putting forth the panther plank, demands that staggered blank minds of the ruling class. Hated by cops, Mumia was a marked man all his early years. Getting kids like that behind their bars was project number one for the pigocracy. But Mumia skated free. Mumia kept his record clean. He wrote, exposed, he rose. Though not of MLK, he never waged his struggle with a gun. The panthers who did that were slain. Mumia married, had a son and daughter. Mumia massacred the cops with words. He snowed their heated passions with a cool rhetoric. The mark upon his skin grew into crosshairs in the thoughts of City Hall. The word went out across the precincts. Get that one. The one who criticized the fatal move on move. That was the firebombing of the communal dissidents. Ramona Africa, etc. Get that one. That nigger winning world awards for words. They did. They got Mumia. Trapped him in a set-up situation, killed their own cop, possibly, so they could get even, killed the messenger. Abu Jamal has lived, if we can call it that, along death row for 14 years. That's 5,000 days, within a cubicle no bigger than a bathroom in suburbia. 1 hour's liberty a day to exercise, none
at all on weekends. The tribute ends at Martin Luther High in Berkeley. Michael Parenti takes the stage. He does not read from Mumia's book. He stretches out his own conclusions, written in the blinding heat of fusion. Michael reads the judgment. Michael howls, and Michael is a panther. Michael fulminates, he presses and demands, he fills the hall with outrage. Michael rouses people to their feet. One night later, 500 citizens are in the streets at a candlelight, torchlight vigil for the life of Mumia Abu-Jamal. The event spills out of Civic Center, San Francisco, along Market Street, then down Mission, toward the Hispanic sector. Fires erupt in the streets at night. Dumpsters of waste material set alight. By whom? Irate demonstrators? Undercover provocateurs? Whatever the source, it gives the cops a pretext to round up the marchers. Just as the demonstration is about to recross Market into a black district, the riot squads seal off both ends of the crowd and close in. Residents save a few by opening their homes to shelter them. 3/5 of the march are arrested, a total of 280 adults and 6 juveniles. The cops make a point of bashing the tape recorders of reporters and vituperating with vulgar language. They are being squeezed with a lot of pressure from above to keep the city tidy and orderly for the hundreds of world dignitaries attending United Nations celebrations. Mayor Frank Jordan is the city's former chief of police. He's not going to have a bunch of cooks out there backing their favorite black cop killer. Down the years, his cops have smashed everything that is paranormal. Dolores Huerta, right-hand woman to Cesar Chavez, smashed in the spleen. Radical gay protesters smashed on the ass. No business as usual shopping blockaders smashed in the cash pocket. Refusing resistors smashed and gassed outside the stock exchange. Why is everybody picking on Frank? Well, later, start a damn food not bombs addicts. Frank's answer is boots not bums. I can't help wondering what happened to the half-naked street person pinup girl I last saw, sitting in a cardboard box downtown, twiddling a series of bagels on her toes. Every time a bagel fell off her toe, she tossed it to the pigeons. Was that insanity? No, it was street theater. A statement against the arrests of bagel carriers, the ongoing arrests of bagel carriers. That is, individuals who dared to smuggle brown bags full of them past police lines into UN Plaza to feed the hungry hordes. And, you know, you think of our huddled masses yearning for a bite. Well, on this occasion, all 300 of the arrested demonstrators are charged with felony arson, all 300 of them. That gives the law and order machine the authority to hold them 3 days in jail cells, which is enough time to cost them their jobs, or at least a big chunk of their pay packet. As the nation sinks further into insolvency, it drags down everyone at every economic level below the luxurious scum fluffing around on the surface. I came home to Santa Cruz. As you might have guessed, you are listening to Radio Free Santa Cruz. This is Nutcracker Nick on the air. Robert Norris is out of town for a court appearance. In a short while, when we get after the next music break, I'll run down the situation with Robert. Meanwhile, it would be very helpful if anybody is listening, and I know there are millions of you out there, if anybody could call in the station and just tell me if the levels are all right. This is the first time I've run the board myself. Is the audio level satisfactory? And any comments you have on the content, that's fine.
I'm not going to put anybody on the air this morning because I'm not familiar with the process, but so here's the number. Just call me in, call in and let me know how it's going from your end. Number is 427-3772. That's 427-FRSC for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Now I'm going to go back to the tape that I had recorded after a recent visit to the city of San Francisco and Oakland, Berkeley.
After all its excitement in the city, and I sat down, composed my mind, and a poem began to compose itself in my mind. A poem devoted to Mumia Abu Jamal. Mumia, you have moved my heart. Mumia, man, you move my heart. Outside my mind you move. You move your mind outside that place so confined to open up the world whose ear is deaf, whose eye is blind. Mumia, man, you gotta stop. Stop moving through my heart. Can't stand this sadness, anger, pride that you bring inside. This depth of feeling, soft diffusion of intelligence. I'm choked up, man. Mumia, you gotta stop. Let me creep back to my quiet ways. Creep back to my quiet days. My hours that were not disturbed by conscience. Mumia, you are too goddamn strong. Committed to shine light upon the wrong. Committed to expose the hurt. Committed to defend the weak and seek their justice. Committed to resist oppressive power. Mumia, you are speaking in the final hour. Uncivilized, a savage drought. Your words refresh us like a morning shower. Your words call out the seed inside the blazing flower of truth. Fresh generation, indeterminate fate. Fresh generation, not prepared to wait. Fresh generation, mega dose of hate. Malcolm, Martin, Marley, Mumia. Hour is getting late. Fresh generation actions will be great. Generation locked up, shocked up, told they gotta shut up. Taken from a jobless, joyless prison of the street. Taken to the mindless graveyard prison of concrete. Put inside the confines of a steel bear cage. Generation X is generation rage. Generation X, you can't sedate. Generation orders you, open up that prison gate. And if you fail to legislate, we'll bust apart that prison gate.
Well, there we are, a little poem that I composed to Mumia Abu Jamal. And if you'll just bear with me again, because I'm not familiar with the equipment here, I'm going to play another musical tribute to Mumia from the group that will be playing at the Benefits Sunday. So just hold on a take and I'll put on that cassette. Okay, while we're doing that, here's the situation with Robert. No, I know what I'll do. I'll play you my tribute to Leonard Peltier. After all, we've had Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is a freedom fighter who uses legitimate means, primarily a nonviolent freedom fighter, and we had Leonard Peltier. It's true that the American Indian Movement did use firearms against the FBI, but it's also true that Leonard Peltier, Indian activist, was framed for a shooting that he personally did not commit, false ballistics evidence, and he's been in jail 14 years, which is the same length of time that Mumia has spent in jail. I believe they're approximately the same. So let's have a tribute to another great American freedom leader that we have to get out of from behind bars, Leonard Peltier. A little poem that I wrote in tribute to Leonard.
You can't have one man free without another man being free, because every man represents multitudes. And every time I walk past a picture of Leonard Peltier or see that damn petition that still needs a million more signatures to impress the descendants of the cavalry who are in power, every time I see that and think of that man languishing in some disgusting jail in the middle of the country, I have that same feeling that I can't stand this anymore. So at least I can pay tribute to one of the liberationists of this troubled time. Leonard, they have seized you and they won't let you go. Leonard, they have got you because of what you know. You know they took the red man's land, took it with their gun in hand. They took it and they carved it up into their little squares. They tied it up in parcels and told you it is theirs. They terrorized the people and drove them far away. Yes, Leonard, you know all about that and the price that they will pay. The price will be their life in hell until come judgment day. While you are with us making freedom ring, making justice reign across the frozen mountains, mighty lakes, across the sweet wind plain. Yes, Leonard, that's the breath of your refrain.
And while we're on the subject of revolutionaries, past and present,
I had none. I broke the law.
I think you realize why I played that one, because Leonard fought the law and he has yet to win. That's an amazing tape from a remote country off the shores of South Africa, a country called Malagasy. And that's on Shenachi recording video, audio cassette. Not often played on the radio. And I think that's kind of cute, strange rhythmical patterns of those boys. So let's give tribute to the little nation of Malagasy. They don't get much airtime. Little African nation in the Indian Ocean. Very large, one of the biggest islands in the world. Back to Leonard Peltier. Here's a man who the peace movement, the alternative movement, the activist movement absolutely must demand his freedom. We've got to put that higher and higher on the agenda. If we're fighting for Abu Jamal's freedom, we must equally fight for Leonard Peltier, Geronimo Pratt, all those who have been wronged in our country. And you know, in a little known situation in Kansas, in a federal penitentiary in Kansas, there are three or four women prisoners who are kept underground and have been kept underground for also about 15 years who hardly ever see the light of day except when they're brought up for hearings in various courtrooms. These are political prisoners. They may have been connected with the Weatherman movement and similar sabotage movements against the Vietnam War. I don't know quite what their background is, but I know there's a whole group of women who are kept out of fresh air and out of daylight in a federal prison in the center of this country. A lot of these things are hidden away from us. We have to demand the liberation of these people. While we have a president who's in the middle range, while we have a first lady who does lend an ear to various causes, you know, Mrs. Clinton actually, as a lawyer, did some legal work on behalf of families of the Black Panthers in her early days. So there's a background in our first family of trying to look deeper into the things that ail America. Okay, I guess you're wondering where the heck Norse has got to. So I'd better get onto that subject. Robert North, who's a kind of freedom fighter on a lower octave, Robert North is today in the courtroom in San Francisco as the first person ever to be prosecuted for feeding food to homeless people in the city of San Francisco Civic Plaza. Many hundreds of people have been arrested, but Robert was taken to court and is being fully prosecuted, and has indeed already been prosecuted once, because he broke a court order. He willfully and willingly in our service, violated a court order that had been issued in San Francisco. So they've got him, and he tells me that he's appealing today the sentence of 2 months in jail, 2 months prison time, for merely serving free food to those who were in need, who were indeed hungry. 1994, early 1994. Oh, he was arrested in October 1993, okay, with Food Not Bombs, which has chapters all over the United States. A group I'm very proud to be associated with, though I don't serve soup personally. I give moral support, and I occasionally score them some apples or oranges from people's gardens or orchards I'm working in. Okay, so the interesting thing about Robert's hearing today is that they brought in a judge from, I think it's from Siskiyou County, one of these rural counties. They brought the judge in from outside to hear Norse's case. So what does that indicate? That to me indicates that they have to go and find a real conservative Republican who's not going to give an inch on human rights, who's not going to feel any sympathy for the downtrodden whatsoever, and is just going to lay it on the line that Robert must do his 2 months. So it's going to be a real touch-and-go situation with such a hard-nosed, imported judge. Now, the other interesting thing about Robert North's situation is we've heard on the grapevine from people who are connected with Amnesty International that his name has been published in one of their publications, and there is a move to consider, and it's only that at this stage, a move to consider Robert a prisoner of conscience, which I guess is a lower order of political prisoner. Yeah, Robert North might actually be adopted by Amnesty International as a prisoner of conscience for his actions in suffering the consequences of a very noble act to feed the poor. I guess there's a good chance that that'll happen, and we'll fill you in as and when that does happen. Right now, oh yes, that song I promised you about Mumia, the song which is a tribute to Mumia by a very African-sounding lady, and as soon as it's over, I will tell you her name, I promise you. I'll go through the publicity material here and see what her name is, but let's hear the song. Yellow teacher, as a man, the Lalana, him teacher. Say the life of Mumia, say the life of Mumia. Don't let to death, kill it to fall on the life of Mumia, I bid you more. Sing a verse, this must be heard from a man who knows the power of the word. What in hell was this man saying? Was it we that got down to over power of his pen? Say the life of Mumia, say the life of Mumia. Don't let the dead penalty fall on the life of Mumia. Have you known? Down in the valley of the shadow of death, freedom dictates we must not rest. Till our people return to him, they help me near us. Give him to them 22 hours and make him the sixth mountain. We near Abu Jamal dwells with other marksmen. Freedom dictates we must not rest, till we liberate our brother from the living death, living death. Say the life of Mumia. Don't let the death penalty fall on the life of Mumia. Have the words of life.
blows, then we're gonna blow away the debt collector. Who is this man who wants to be? In this day we're gonna blow away the debt collector. Say the life of me.
Well, that was a tribute to Mumia Abu-Jamal and a call to oppose the death penalty under all conditions by a song by Somaya Kambui. Somaya Kambui, with her flute player, will be appearing at the benefit this Sunday at the Vets Hall for the liberation defense, legal defense of Mumia Abu-Jamal. This will be a very good evening's, afternoon and evening's entertainment, and it's, the cost of this is just remarkable. You can get in there for $4 onwards, $4 up, and you're going to see acoustic musicians, very well-known ones, Greg Chansky, Christopher Yule, Satya, various poets, speakers from different movements, and from different ethnic groups. And then popular groups will be playing. About 5 o'clock onwards, Space Masons, a group I'm not familiar with. They're coming on about 5:30. The whole event opens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 7 o'clock is Wind Cave. 7 o'clock, Wind Cave. 10 o'clock, well, actually Wind Cave will be about 8 o'clock, they tell me. 8:30 for Wind Cave. Yo Body, 10:45. So what you see if you come to the event are popular dance groups with a lot of appeal to Generation X. And in between, you have poets and acoustic musicians. So there's always something going on. And speakers who explain various political things and how to join certain movements. Okay. That's great. Starting at 3 o'clock till midnight at Vets Hall, Front Street, next to the post office in Santa Cruz, this Sunday. $4 upwards admission. A movement that I'm very connected with is the National People's Campaign, which is a movement against the contract on America. And we are planning in the middle of next month, middle of September, to have a caravan for justice, which will include Mumia Abu-Jamal matters, which will include raising that issue, I should say. This is a caravan of vehicles. Motorcycles, bicycles, and motor vehicles. So if you have any of those, I want to hear from you. I'm going to give you my home number because I'm an organizer with the National People's Campaign for this Caravan for Justice against the Gingrich cuts against welfare mothers, the Gingrich cuts on our health services and mental health services, the Gingrich cuts against the disabled. This is the disabling of America, and if people don't stand up and oppose it now and get organized, we've got to be shoulder to shoulder, wrist to wrist, and we don't want limp wrists, we've got to have firm wrists, and we've got to be, if we don't have vehicles that day, we've got to be going on foot to the various events that we plan to stage in Santa Cruz, Watsonville, and when we drive, we may go as far as Fresno to link up with a national caravan that's going all the way to Washington, D.C. to the People's Convention. We'd like to have a delegate from this area to the People's Convention. So if you're listening to this radio and you have extra bucks and you could help make a contribution to send a delegate to the People's Convention, also call this number. So the general number for this purpose, for the Caravan for Justice of the National People's Campaign, here's the number, 475-2012. Repeating the number, 475-2012. Now I'm going to put on a tape by Ramsey Clark, the former Attorney General of this nation. The former Attorney General is the guy who prosecutes uprisings usually, but this man has turned into one of the leaders of the uprising in America. Let's give him a listen.
One of the initiators and spokespeople of the National People's Campaign.
Please let us give a warm, fair welcome to Ramsey Clark.
I really like to come to this auditorium because I really feel the passion and the energy of the activists of this great Bay Area. I've seen this auditorium fall for a great Cuba rally that nearly lifted the roof off the building. And I've seen it jammed for war crimes hearings after the Gulf slaughter. And now I see you here for what is the most difficult and fundamental challenge we've faced. Because it's a struggle that brings all of the others together. We really owe something to this contract on America because if we will only see, it shows us what they really want to do to this country. Yes. The contract on America intends to kill the dream. It intends to destroy the two-century struggle, far from successful, for social and economic justice. It wants to dismantle all the little progress we have made in this century to provide for the common welfare of the American people, to meet the needs of those who need our collective health. We have to understand if they really want to destroy the mechanisms and programs of government across the board that do not further enrich the rich. Of course, we're not going to let it happen.